You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
What's remarkable about this new fragment that we found, the Gospel of Jesus' wife, is that it actually has Jesus saying, "My wife." We've had these other texts, especially a text called the Gospel of Philip, and in addition to that, the Gospel of Mary, that have talked about this close relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And yet scholars have consistently, and I must say, myself included, in the past, have argued that, oh no, that language is all spiritual. It's all spiritualizing. It's using it metaphorically. Why is it that we have been pushing against that so hard? I think it's because it's very difficult when you have spent your whole life, when you've spent, in fact, Christianity has spent 1,500 years or more talking about, understanding Jesus not being married, to actually know it when we see it, so to speak.
That's Dr. Karen King. She's professor of divinity at Harvard University. She's talking about the so-called Gospel of Jesus' Wife, a fragment of papyrus. It made headlines recently. Why did it make headlines, and should it have? Is it authentic? Joining us to talk about the discovery of the so-called Gospel of Jesus' Wife, Dr. Daniel Hoffman. He's professor of history at Lee University, author of the book The Status of Women in Gnosticism in Irenaeus and Tertullian, and he's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled The Gospel of Jesus' Wife, a Modern Fake. Dr. Hoffman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you having me on the program.
You say that the way that the publicity or the publication on this alleged ancient papyrus, the Gospel of Jesus' Wife, has been handled illustrates a double standard. What is that double standard?
Well, my argument is, and I think you can see this if you look at some of the internet articles and go back and watch some of the TV programs when this Gospel of Jesus' Wife came out, is that when something comes out that is new or different from Christian Orthodox teaching, and especially if those new supposed discoveries challenge essentials of the Christian faith, they are played up very highly in the mainstream media and considered to be true without really any significant qualifications. Whereas when things, articles are found, archaeological finds or manuscripts or things like that, that would tend to support the Orthodox traditional Christian understanding of Jesus and the Bible, those things are downplayed or criticized. So that maybe this isn't remarkably unusual or something that people wouldn't intuitively know themselves, but I think it's worth stating that things are handled quite differently depending on whether it supports the Bible or attacks biblical teaching.
You also say that the so-called Gospel of Jesus' Wife is really kind of three deceptions rolled into one. What are they?
Well, I was trying to be a little catchy there, and I'm glad that it got your attention and maybe readers' attention if they see the article. But when we think of a gospel, we think of an account that tells us about the life and teaching of Jesus, the Jesus of the first century, the Jesus who lived even according to non-biblical sources. So we think of something that is essentially historical truth or accurate information about a past person who really lived. And this Gospel of Jesus' Wife has two problems in that regard. My argument is that, and this is, again, not unique with me, but my argument is that this particular gospel is not ancient at all. It was a modern forgery, probably done after 2002, because some of the text in this supposedly ancient piece mirrors typological or typographical or mistakes that only appear in information that was posted online in a Coptic text of the Gospel of Thomas after 2002. So we can probably go into that in more detail, because that's the sort of technical heart of the complaint against this gospel. But if it comes from the 21st century, it's certainly not anything new about Jesus of the first century AD. So it's a lie, because it's not ancient. And even if it was something that Christians in earlier years believed, not in 2002 or afterwards, let us say it came from the 4th century or the 3rd century, like some Gnostic texts do, and there are many legitimate ones out there. In fact, this Gospel of Jesus' Wife, as I was saying, seems to be based on a legitimate Gnostic text, that is, the Gospel of Thomas, and perhaps a few others that come from perhaps as early as the 2nd century AD, but more likely the 3rd, or perhaps even later than that. So even if this particular papyrus fragment that has these words, Jesus said to them, and my wife, sort of linking Jesus with his wife, it's a very small fragment, and there's gaps in the wording and so forth. So it doesn't really tell us too much, but according to the title, the sensational title, The Gospel of Jesus' Wife, it is pretending to tell us something about the Jesus of the first century. And if it comes from the third or even the second century, and it's written by a group of people who are very nominally Christian, who have only a very loose link to Orthodox Christianity, then in essence they're creating or inventing a fictitious teaching about the Jesus who lived 125 years or so earlier. So in that regard, it's not a gospel. It tells us nothing about Jesus, that the historical Jesus, and it does not prove that he had a wife at all. Even the text, if you took it literally, only says Jesus said to them, my wife, and then the text breaks off, as I was saying. And so, hypothetically, since there is so little text, it could go on to say something after that that would not seem to indicate that Jesus was speaking to a real person who was his wife. Again, this is not the historical Jesus. This is an invented or fictitious Jesus. So don't think I'm buying into their line of reasoning, but it just becomes difficult to talk about the words on the text without sort of falling into that trap, if you follow me, that somehow we're talking about the Jesus of the first century. This is an invented Jesus. Maybe he was invented by a cult group in the third or century or so, or maybe it was a modern person who invented this teaching in the 21st century in order to make some money, but it's not an ancient gospel.
Dr. Daniel Hoffman is our guest. When we come back, I'll have him take us through the details of this forgery and why we can say with rock-solid certainty that it is, in fact, a modern forgery. We're talking about the discovery of the so-called Gospel of Jesus' Wife. We'll be right back.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Vinker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 19th. We're talking about the discovery of the so-called Gospel of Jesus' wife. Dr. Daniel Hoffman is our guest. Dr. Hoffman, take us through the details, the technical details of this discovery and why we can say with rock-solid certainty that it is a modern-day forgery.
Well, some of it begins with the history of the papyrus itself. It's a small little credit card-sized papyrus, and so it's very small. It only has a few lines, and these are partially legible. In fact, there are even places where there are kind of breaks in the papyrus in the middle of words. And it first became known to Karen King, a professor at Harvard University, in 2010. She got an email about it. And then later, at first she thought it was probably a forgery, ironically, because later now we'll hear, if people haven't already heard about this, that she's one of the champions of it, thinking that it's not a forgery. But initially she dismissed this. Apparently, if you are in a high prestigious position like that and well known as being an author on Gnostic texts, people will email you about this. I haven't had this happen to me. That's okay. I do have friends that sometimes are offered ancient manuscripts, and I've been offered in Egypt ancient papyri, not with writing on them, but this is one reason why in the article I say it's fairly easy to acquire ancient papyri. But be that as it may, Dr. King looked at it when she saw it in person and not just by email. She began to think that the shape of the letters looked a lot like the way they were done in the Gospel of Thomas, which is an authentic text from, let us say, again, the 3rd century. There's a range of opinion on that. Perhaps it originally appeared earlier, but we know about it now only through, or primarily through, Coptic manuscripts that come from the 4th century, so I'm sort of splitting the difference there. Anyway, King, when she looked at it, said, ah, this looks like the Gospel of Thomas. And so she took it to experts to have it checked out, and they noted almost immediately that there were some strange things about it, strange grammar where mostly verbs are preserved. Some of the letters are not shaped very well. There are some gaps, but they began to believe that there were other things that would prove that it really was an ancient papyrus. It is written on both sides, although one side has very, very faint lettering. It's very hard to see, and they believe that was sort of a hard-to-forge feature. But they recommended that there would be carbon-14 testing done on the paper, that is the papyrus, to make sure that it was really old, and that would give greater authenticity to it. The problem is, from my perspective and others who have criticized how this was handled, Dr. King wrote a scholarly article about this, took photos, and then at the Vatican, no less, where they certainly don't believe that Jesus had a wife, gave a paper presenting this new papyrus to the world. So there were sensational headlines, a Gospel of Jesus' wife. But almost immediately, as people began to look at it, They saw, well, first, that there had been no carbon-14 testing done to prove that it was even an ancient text. But then they began to see that the words that were on the text were all taken from the Gospel of Thomas. It was almost a cut-and-paste version. Not only were the words shaped like Thomas and only words that appear in Thomas, but there are some cases when in the authentic Gospel of Thomas there are gaps in the wordings, and this new manuscript had a gap in exactly the same place that the Gospel of Thomas had a gap, a pretty unlikely coincidence. And then finally, as people looked at these photos of the papyrus, they noticed that there was an interlinear Coptic version, a Coptic and English version, of the Gospel of Thomas available online, but that when that was posted online, there was a slight mistake, a typo in one of the words. A letter was left out, that actually appears in the hard copy of the Gospel of Thomas, if one examined the real Gospel of Thomas, but on this particular online version, they had made a mistake. And the papyrus, the Gospel of Jesus' Wife, or rather misleadingly called, as we've already covered, has that same letter left out in the same word as the interlinear Coptic Gospel of Thomas available online, which the real Gospel of Thomas doesn't have because it would make the wording wrong and strange. So that's really the smoking gun here that almost everyone believes proves this to be a modern forgery. I've been reading since the time of the article and trying to keep up with this controversy, and there are some who are still out there saying that maybe it was just a clumsy sort of a scribe in the past, and he just really didn't know what he was doing, and he left that letter out. I think that's rather an unlikely coincidence that the not only are the words the same as the words in the Gospel of Thomas, the gap's the same as in the Gospel of Thomas, but the misspelling is the same as the Gospel of Thomas online version. And all those other things also correspond with the online version. So it seems to me the best explanation is that a person was looking online on the interlinear Coptic English version, and there's other language versions available of this too, if the original forger was perhaps German. This is hard to tell as well. There is no prior history that can be verified of this papyrus fragment before Dr. King saw it in 2000, or well, saw the email in 2010 and then physically saw it in 2011. It supposedly came from a collector earlier than that, but there's no one now alive who could verify where this came from. And the owner of the papyrus himself, Dr. King, met the person who owns it, but he wants to remain anonymous. So all of these things would be very suspect, I believe, if it was an evangelical Christian with a new manuscript or some new find that confirmed the Bible. They wouldn't even get the time of day with this kind of a checkered background, in my opinion at least. And yet this gets a Harvard Theological Review article and sensational headlines. It's really just a double standard. And I'm sorry, we've kind of gone over that to a degree, but go ahead.
Well, that's a great point to make. It deserves to be remade. Even if this were authentically ancient, not authentically canonical, but authentically ancient, in your estimation, it would fall into the category of, you know, a handful of Gnostic texts that are authentically ancient. But you say Gnostic texts are, by and large, irrelevant. What do you mean?
Well, they're not relevant for determining what Jesus said or what Jesus taught or what the early apostles, as led by the Spirit and so forth, believed and taught, essentially Orthodox teaching. What they show us is what a sort of offshoot of early Christianity believed, what it might be better to think of as a cult group or a heretical group. Certainly the Christians like Irenaeus in the second century believed that these Gnostics were heretics and sort of a cult group. So when I say they're irrelevant, their writings, they're irrelevant to determine what true Christian belief should be, which I think nearly everyone would say comes from Jesus, from the New Testament, from the apostolic period, because they're too late, they're not apostles, and essentially they're writing fictional accounts. It would be kind of like saying that we should base our Christian beliefs today, Orthodox Christian, evangelical Christian beliefs today, on the Book of Mormon. Now, there are people who believe in the Book of Mormon. It's an important religious text throughout history, but the Orthodox mainstream Christian teachings would not say we derive those from the Book of Mormon. If you believe you derive them from the Book of Mormon, you're a Mormon. You're not a Christian. I'm sorry if I have strayed from the path of the conversation, but that's kind of the way to look at these Gnostics. They're an offshoot of Orthodox Christianity.
Finally, then, with about a minute or so, what are the lessons that ought to be learned, not only in the scholarly community, but how the media handles these things from this rather conspicuous forgery, the so-called Gospel of Jesus' Wife?
Well, I think as Christians, we need to be really careful in our work and thinking, because we know we're going to be very carefully scrutinized. And in the larger Christian community, I think that folks in churches, when they hear about some sensational find that seems to challenge their understanding of Christianity, what's in the Bible, they should be pretty skeptical, because a lot of times these things prove to be true, like the Gospel of Judas. I didn't have time to say much about that, but that thing was very mistranslated even, and most folks still have not even heard about that. But at one point, a translation said that Judas would ascend into the holy generation like he was going to heaven, and now folks know for sure that that text says that Judas will not ascend into the holy generation. So that's quite a big difference. So we need to be careful not to be caught up in the sensation and believe it just because it's being reported in the national media.
Dr. Daniel Hoffman is professor of history at Lee University. He's author of the book The Status of Women and Gnosticism in an Irenaeus and Tertullian. He's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled The Gospel of Jesus' Wife, a Modern Fake. Dr. Hoffman, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you once again. Appreciate it very much.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about who receives the sacrament of the Lord's Supper worthily. Now, Luther takes up this question in the Small Catechism, writing in the 16th century. It's a big question. Was worthiness for the Lord's Supper something that you produced of your own person? Was it done through fasting and preparation and all of the ways the medieval Roman Catholic Church suggested? Luther takes up both subjects, true worthiness and fasting and bodily preparation, and we'll take up those subjects as well right after this on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues, Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues, Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.